it says how you have the email Rishayim Gemara. Let's say that.
Tough kuf tarke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how you have the email Rishayim Gemara? If mom and dad, or dad and mom, are full Rishayim, va'odei avera, and they violate the prohibitions. Afilu nigmar dino lahariga. So even if there is a gemar din, even if based on this paskin that they're going to be killed on their way. They're on death row. I be yotzin liharig, and they're on the way to be killed. Aser lo la kosin l'klal, and it's prohibited for the child to hit them and curse them. However, v'im hiko sa oklalon, then they're going to be pater. But it's, while it might be prohibited, the death penalty that's associated with both of those things, if he goes ahead and does it, he's going to be pater. V'im asu tshuva, and if the parent does tshuva, harehu chayiv, then they would be chayiv. V'nera galem, and they would be chayiv misa over it. Afal pishi yotzin liharig, even though they're on their way to being killed. So medvar mamurim bivno. But if somebody else shabavi ko okalo achar shnigmar dino afal pisha asa tshuva pater. That if somebody else comes along and hits them, that they would be chayiv for what they did. So they would be pater, right? Even if they did tshuva.
What does that have to do with anything?
It's in the same Gemara, and right. Why the Torah is really quoting Gemara here? Right, he's quoting the scenario of the Gemara. So and that the reason I'm quoting it is because that helps understand what exactly is going on here with the child. And if they embarrass him, they'd be chayiv this knas of embarrassing. So what is going on here, Joel wants to know. Right? So there seems to be, so what's going on with the kid? So there's a kid whose parents are now these Rishayim. So he still has, these things are still prohibited to him. We pointed out it's a little bit, there's a distinction between that and the older brother. The older brother goes over the derech, the son like puts him in chayim gesi yashakach. But the parent, that's not going to be the case. So the parent still has a connection to the child still has a connection to those parents, and if the parent does tshuva, so the child is still associated with that parent. Why? It seems like because that's continuations even l'acharmisa, right? We discussed already that a child still has connections to the parent as a mitzvah kibud av v'im even after the parent passes away. So that chiyuv maintains itself, as opposed to the issue when it comes to other people who hit the. It's like with regards to other people, their connection to this individual who's on death row is he's called a gavra katila. He's like a dead man walking. So was dead man walking, the other people won't be chayiv. So the child who still has a connection with the parent being chayiv being misa, whether the parent is alive or whether the parent is dead, so that's going to continue itself. And then whether the child is going to be obligated, is going to be chayiv misa for his attack on the parents, that's going to be subjected to whether the parent had done tshuva or not, as opposed to the other person. So with regards to another person, the individual on their way to death is considered an individual on their way to death, and therefore there is no longer, the person doesn't have the benefits of one who is alive, and somebody who goes and attacks them in a way that would lend themselves to becoming some kind of penalty, so that is not going to be imposed upon them. Okay, so that is the din here. There is a general question. We discussed it. I think we gave a Shabbat Shuva drasha on this a couple of years ago, and that is the question of, well, wait a second. If the parent does Shuva, why are they still getting a chiyuv? Why are they still getting misa in the first place? Right, that's a general question. If a person, anybody,
says something else,
chayiv misa, what?
Well, Shuva doesn't get you out of misa. Once you,
so that's the question. Why not? Well, why not?
Shuva's between you and him.
Ah, okay.
Once you have a halacha of misa, you have a halacha.
Okay.
You can't get out.
Okay, so that's the answer, right? Why that should be, does tshuva work, or how does tshuva work? So that is part of this question.
But misa is also like a kapara.
Misa is also like a kapara. Correct, maybe that's necessary in order to get the kapara. That's one approach. Another, the Noda Yehuda writes differently. Noda Yehuda writes that the reason that you're still going to impose the penalty, even though the person has already done tshuva, is to demonstrate the chomer iser, to demonstrate it's not necessarily, we're not necessarily killing the person for his kapara, we're killing the person so that everybody else sees how terrible and what a thing it is. That he's doing. Right. So they should know, and therefore they're going
to
also
have to pronounce Hebrew the right way.
Right. They're going to be able to then stay away.
This last line,
English too, the same thing.
In Bisho or Bisho, is that referring to the son or to any individual? Last phrase.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. The knas hamavayish. I think that's clear. Mishu hu hamavayish bein shu b'no o acher. If you look at the Prisha says either one. V'sarach li'tin haknas levanim acherim im yish levanim. We would put the knas to
because the money goes to the other children.
Yeah. Right, because the Mishnah came with us. After Nami learned the Hafi Kamarchai of the Knask, it didn't call him a Vayish to Katsina later. That we put a class on anybody who embarrasses him. I'm not sure what that is. Probably a Gemara someplace. That talks about that.
Embarrass someone that's.
Yeah. That's just the. That's a din, yeah. Okay. Now let's take a look and run through some of these halachas of Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll move on to the. Subject. So the Shulchan Aruch itself, in the Rish Mem Beis, Sif Rish Mem Aleph, sorry, right, Rish Mem Aleph, Sif Dalet, so it said this, V'hayu Ave V'himo Rishayim Gemurim Odeh V'Avera, Afilu Nigmar Diem Lahariga V'yotzim Lahari, they're on the way to be killed, Asul Lakosim Yikantinim V'lakolim V'yiko, some if he does, Okolim is going to be Pater V'masa Tshuva, if the person had already done Tshuva, he would be Chayiv V'nerig Aleyem, Afalpish Yotzim Lahari, even though they're on the way to death, and Joel, to your point, leaves out the thing about anybody else. Okay. You'll skip Hey, you'll skip well, in Vav actually it says Kol ha-mevaza aviv imo afilu bidvarim. So if anybody embarrasses their parent, so afilu biramiza hareza bechlal arur pi hagvura. That's included in the curse. What curse is it? Shenemar arur mekala aviv imo. Right, where was that said? One who well, I think it literally means cursed, right?
But isn't it like on the mountains? Har Grizim.
Makdimla. Yeah, right. That was one of the curses on Har Grizim. So you get the curse. So where does that leave us? So all of those curses, it's a little unclear what they are. Are they mitzvos? Are they not mitzvos? Are they connected to mitzvos? Are they sort of mitzvos? So it doesn't seem to be included in. It seems like it's part of the mitzvah of Kivud Aveim, but it's not included in the prohibitions that contain with it a punishment. So you get a curse. So, because if God is going to curse you, so Basin has the right to impose upon you Makas Mardis, Makas Dirabanam, Vilianush Kafi Masharoi, as is befitting. Okay, one other thing to just. Okay. Go to Tess, and with that we'll then move on. So in Tess it says, Ger Asur Lekalel Aviv Ha'Oved Kochavim. A ger is prohibited from cursing their non-Jewish parents, right? A person converts, his parents still aren't Jewish. So he's not allowed to curse his non-Jewish parents or hit them. V'lo Yivzahu, and nor can he mock them. Shelo Yomru, why not? Shelo Yomru Banu Mikedusha Chamuru Lekedusha Kalas. Less people say that they're coming from a more Chamur Kedusha to a less Chamur Kedusha. Aval Eved, but a slave who was freed, so they don't have connection to the parents, and that's not an issue. But the first issue is a very interesting thing. So we have a general rule that shows up in the Gemara brother and sister that converted. So technically, they're both like they're new people, and we assume that they don't have yichus, that they don't have connection to their sibling that converted with them. In theory, they can marry one another. So the Rabbanan said, no, can't do. Right, don't do that, because less people say that you, when they're not Jewish, they were prohibited to each other, right? Non-Jews also have a mitzvah of Gilei Arayus, and a brother and sister can't marry each other as non-Jews. So now you became Jewish, and now all of a sudden you're going to be permissible to one another, right? So that can't be. So that's this idea of Shelo Yom Rubanu Mikedusha Chamura LeKedusha Kala. Less people say that. Now, the only problem is the application here. Why? What's the problem with the application here? Because there's one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, last time I checked, does not include Kivud Aveim. Right? So this is reserved, this rule, right, that we're not going to be making on something for you when you are Jewish, when you would be prohibited from doing it when you're not Jewish. So why is that applicable here? What mitzvah of Kivud Aveim did they have before they became Jewish? So that question is actually asked here, on the page. I don't know where it is on your page. In the Yad Avram. So I don't know if you have it as a separate section, or maybe it's in like the Otzer HaPirushim on the bottom.
Yeah, in our mind, it's the Otzer HaPirushim on the bottom.
Yeah.
Second one, yes.
Got it. So if you look over there, so it says, Gir b'yamim hakadmonim asur l'kal aviv ovigom l'akosu v'lo yavuzi shalo yom rubon mikdusha chamur l'kal. Fine. So b'sefer, I'm not sure what that is, hikshet, I think it's actually Beis Hillel. Okay, Hiksha, the Lo Shaykh Lomar Kane. Right? You can't say this Rak Gabe Irva, except for things that are Gilei Arayos type things. The Gam Kodem Geirus Hayu Asurin, because even before they were Geirim, they were also, it's also prohibited. Masha Ein Kein B'Kavod, as opposed to Kavod, right? The Lo Matzin the B'nei Noach Mitzuyin Al Zeh, right? We don't find that B'nei Noach are Mitzuvim on Kibud Aveim. So why would we say that you better do it, or else people are going to say that you're now becoming more lax? There was no chiyuv on it beforehand. So what does he say? So v'yish lomer the afal gav the lo chiyuv b'hadi zayin mitzvos. Yes, it's true. It's not one of the seven mitzvos for Bnei Noach. Nerug, right? It's not one of the seven mitzvos of the Bnei Noach that you would get killed on if you didn't do it. We call makom matzinu shenenshu. Do you have Bishin?
Yes.
What is it?
It's Bishin.
Right? Matzinu Shin. I figured that before, though. Become welcome, Matzinu Shinenshu. Something else, eh? Cham Uvanov, right? Shalokive Lenoch Aviv. That Cham and his children. Darn. Bishin. Not sure. But Cham and his.
B'nai Noah.
No,
it's Shen.
Oh,
the wrong one. Shen, Ben Shen, Alzeh, something like that. Shen, Ben Shen, Ben Shen, Ben.
It's Ben Cham that got punished. Anyway, Shenen Shu.
Ben Shes.
Okay. No. Not sure. Well, Alzeh, right? Cham Uvanav, right? Shelo Kive LeNoachav. Was they didn't show kavod to their father Noach. So what do we see? We see that there is a responsibility of Kivud Aveim, even with non Jews, even though it's not necessarily contained within the Shem Mitzvah Bnei Noach, which is an interesting call, right? The way the
punished for something that's not even Mitzvah.
What?
You're getting punished.
Right, so that doesn't mean that they're really being punished for something that's not even a mitzvah. So here in the Piskei Tshuvos, Tzakimu Tshuvos, so he quoted from some others who don't say like that. He raises the question, and he says some of them, Achasu HaChronim, we quote here at the bottom, Igros Prima Gadim, and it was a bunch of people here, who say Shekavanasosh Mikol Malkum Kfar Nog Bazer Bnei Noach Meolam Bini Museim. Right, that the Bnei Noach were knowing this. That even though it might not be one of the Shemites of Bnei Noach, it was one of their. They did it on their own, not necessarily as a responsibility of, but they had. It's the idea of honoring your father and your mother because it's contained amongst them. So if all of a sudden now you're not going to be honoring your father and your mother, so it's going to look like this. Shelo Yomru, lest people say that you're coming from a Kedusha Chamura to Kedusha Kala, right? So people are going to say it, right? Even if that wasn't necessarily something that the Torah imposed upon them, it was still something that people would say. And therefore we have that concern. Therefore it makes sense in Shulchan Aruch that a ger is prohibited from cursing their parents, lest or hitting their parents, lest people say these types of things. Or he adds in as well that the whole, or the other possibility is just, no, they do have an obligation of a karas hatov. And we said the responsibility of kivud aveim is connected to the idea of a karas hatov, giving thanks to his parents. So you owe no karas hatov to your non-Jewish parents also. And when we talked about adoption and honoring your adopted parents or doing avelus for your adopted parents, so that same rule came into effect, right? We talked about that same idea, so that's applicable here as well, even with regards to one's non-Jewish parents.
According to the Medrash, they did a lot more than not be nice to Noah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what you read. What you hold.
That's true.
Well, you also have the concept that Esav was big in Kibud Aveim.
Esav was big in Kibud Aveim. In fact, all of the stories in all the stories of Maseches Kedushin of these people doing extreme Kibud Av were non-Jews. Right.
So it seems like they didn't do it.
Right. Right, what's behind that? Yeah. Okay, so that's Rishma. So with that, we move on to our next topic.
What's behind it?
What's behind what?
They got it from us.
They didn't do it before us.
Not people in the Gemara did.
No.
Okay, so now we move on to Hilchos Kivud Rabba with Tamid Chacham. So as the Pesachim which
back
was
in tour.
Back in the tour, was I remember? There wasn't much here in the first couple of things in the tour. So in the introduction here in the Pesachim Chuvos, he points out that. that yes, this section is called Hilchos Kivud Rabo. It really is the based off of Kivud of showing honor to one's Rebbe is also the idea of Psak Halacha. How does Psak Halacha work? What's one's connection to one Rebbe? Is a person allowed to go off on their own? Are they not allowed to go off on their own? The idea of paskening a Dover Tamua, something that people are going to wonder about. So all of that appears over the course of this siman. It's a pretty lengthy siman. So that's the that I guess is the introduction. The other thing that doesn't show up in the Shulchan Aruch itself until well into it is the idea that many of these you have to constantly split and ask, okay, this is mitzvah of kibud rabo, is it only applicable to what we call a Rebbe muvak? It's only applicable to one's primary Rebbe, and then you have to figure out A, what that means, and B, is it still applicable even bisman hazeh? And the assumption is that meikar din it's not. Meikar din a person doesn't have a Rebbe muvak bisman hazeh. The halachos may be applicable to somebody who somebody learned from for many years. That's one possibility, and the other type of possibility that it would still be all the halachos still be applicable to somebody who qualifies the gadol hador, somebody who is like Rosh of Arubu above everybody else, so they have the din of a Rebbe Muvak for that generation, and therefore many of these halachos would be applicable to that person as well. Okay, so with that introduction, I guess we could just
begin. So we're done with the kibud rabo and. Right.
Moving on, yes. Although there is a lot of overlap between Kivud Rabo and Kivud Aveim, as we already saw. Right, we're flipping forward when we're learning Kivud Rabo. We might be flipping backwards as we learn Kivud Rabo.
We've never done this Kivud Aveim.
Never, correct. Correct. Okay. So Sif Aleph Chayv Adam B'Chavud Rabo V'Yiraso Yosir Mi B'Shel Aviv. That person in Shulchan Aruch Sif Aleph. One is obligated to honor their Rebbe and to fear their Rebbe more than their father. That is Sif Aleph. Comes the Ramah and adds in, Aviv Shehu Rabbo Muvak, Kuri Oso Bedivro Rabbo. Now let's say you have your father is also your Rebbe Muvak, you would actually call him Rebbe. Aval Barabo She'in Muvak, both your Rebbe who is not your Rebbe Muvak, Kori Oso Abba, you would call him father. Right? So if you learn your father's Shir for a little bit, so you still call him father. But says the Shulchan Aruch, if your father becomes your Rebbe Muvak, so then you would actually call him Rebbe. It sounds like you could actually call him Rebbe rather than call him father. That is the indication that one gets from the Ramah here. So the Rishach takes a little bit of issue with this. The Shach and Sif Aleph, we'll do that first.
So wait a second. Rabbo Shano Mufa Kore Oso Abba. He calls his father father.
If your father is your Rebbe, that's not your Rebbe Muvak, you would still call him father. So the Shach says, where does he come from? Says Elishon Darki Moshe. Rabbo Yosef is coming out of the Darki Moshe. Not surprisingly, it's the same person. Ish Lumud Mizu, the Misha Aviv Hu Rabbo, Kori Oso Rebbe. I mean, based on this principle, they say you honor your Rebbe more than your father, it's considered a more honorific title to call him Rebbe rather than father. That's the suggestion here. So Rabbo Kori Oso Rebbe, Velo Abba Mori. Right? Therefore, you should call him Rebbe and not Abba Mori. That's what it sounds like in the beginning of Azav. The Karle Rabbi Shimon L'Rebbe Aviv Rebbe. That Rabbi Shimon referred to his father Rebbe, meaning who we all call Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, as Rebbe. So even though he was a son, he referred to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi as Rebbe. All right, this gets into what we were speaking before also, that idea. So venerally, so it says the Shach, the Hainu Dafka Imhu Rabbi Muvak. It says, first of all, it's only if he's your Rebbe Muvak. That's continuation of the Darki Moshe.
Today's possibilities today from Rabbi Muvak. That Rabbi mentioned, if there is something like Rabbi Muvak today, there's something what we call leadership Muvak. If someone is in someone's yeshiva, then he has to be called Rabbi.
Yeah. If somebody, again, owns...
He's in a yeshiva.
Yeah, somebody's in a yeshiva, right?
He's supposed to be called Rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
That's Rabbi.
So he could be called... What's that? If he called a Rebbe, would even apply to somebody who's not your Rebbe, or not a Rebbe, but
like... He's the Rosh Yeshiva.
If he's the Rosh Yeshiva, he would be called Rebbe also?
Because this makes a big, huge difference... And I will ask you why.
Mm-hmm.
This is my opinion. Maybe you can answer me because this is something about bothers me already a lot of years. If someone goes in a yeshiva, that's why you going to go to Rosh Hashanah. Wherever it's going, you can see in his whole life for which yeshiva is going. Mm-hmm. Is there something about the way he picked up things? And usually he's picking it up from that tshuva, Teres Yeshiva, where he was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is the idea why if someone is in a yeshiva and the most of his Torah he got from the yeshiva, and kol shkun, if he got smicha that yeshiva, that he had to call the yeshiva Rabbi Meir.
Right. So my Rebbe, who I spent the most time by, always would quote his Rebbe, Rav Salvechik, the Rav Shechter would quote Rav Salvechik as saying that now, and that's actually quoted here in the Piskei Tshuvos as well, and on Piskei Tshuvos Gimel, that says that, yes, it's true in terms of Anhagos, but in terms of Torah, you're going to get the majority of your Torah from books rather than from your Rebbe. I mean, this might be back in the time of the Gemara, and even the time of the Rishonim, it was a real Mesorah that you were following. You're really learning one from your Rebbe. It's so this is Ma'ad Hazem, where it's how, coming
how
down
to,
his heart.
How to learn this for him? Actually, how to cover Ashman Bais. How to cover this? How to make him Sakaluch?
Sure.
He's also, then you have to go to Yisrael Shishido.
Sure. So that's... I'm saying that's... It's true. Notwithstanding, the Surah I have, and apparently that's what in the Pesach Mitzvahs he quotes that also from Rav Poskim, so that's not enough to be considered a Rebbe Mubak, to have these Dinim of Rebbe Mubak attached to them. So the Shach continues here. He says, "Venir Ali, the Hainu Dafka, right? Imu Rabba Muvak, right? Akan Lashon." So Ritzarach Iyun Sheinu Agin Kain. He says, "I understand. Nobody does this, right? Or those who have their father as their Rebbe Muvak don't refer to their fathers as Rebbe. They call them Pati, right? So what's going on? So Hilkach Yish Lomar. So therefore, we would say the Afalgav the Chay B'Chivud Ravu Yosem Yishalav. That yes, it's true. You have to honor your father more than your Rebbe more than your father. Mikol Malkum Yosir Yishli Krosu B'Shem Av Hamiyuchad Lo Miyalduso. Right? It would be better. It's better to refer to him by the name Daddy of Abba, right? That was specific to him from the time that you were a child. And probably the father is also mochal on his kavod with regards to being called Rebbe. What's in Tafayin Beis Sifhei? Where's Tafayin Beis Orachayim? What section of halachos are that? Hilchos and Seder, right. Hilchos Seder is talking about the Mesubim, about the leaning over in front of your Rebbe. The Ben Eitzel Aviv, that a child by the father, Afal Pishu Rabbo Muvak, it comes there. Even if the father is the Rebbe Muvak, Tzar Chaseva, you're allowed to lean over. Afal Gav, even though a Talmud by his Rebbe, ain't Tzar Chaseva, right? A Talmud that is Rebbe Seder does not have to do a Seva, or does, maybe the Rebbe's not Mochi, he's allowed to show fear to his Rebbe. But a child, even if the child is at his father and Rebbe Seder, meaning it's the same person, so he's allowed to assume that he has Mechila. So therefore the assumption is that the father is Mochel on the title, and therefore rather than call him Rebbe, he would call him Tati. So too, the idea would be here as well that he's mochel on the Rebbe title. And then, but so wait a second, but we have Ma'ase Shehayah, right? It's not just a svara. What about Rebbe in the Gemara that Rebbe Shimon referred to Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi as Rebbe, even though it was his father? So what was he doing? So for Rebbe Shiny, why the Hamrina Mi Most Moshe Ad Rebbe Lo Matzina Torah Gedol Makom Echad? We never saw the Torah and Godless in the same place from the time of Moshe all the way until the time of Rebbe. So Rebbe was so specific, so unique, that his children would refer to him as Rebbe. But unless your father is Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, or somebody of that ilk, so he shall be listed with regards to the Shach to continue to refer to them as father, rather than refer to them as Rebbe. Okay. And then the Beis is also, even though it's really coming straight out of a Gemara, Kol Cholek Al Rabo, Kol Cholek Al Hashkina. Oh, sorry, I wanted to point out this Piskei Tshuva here. I'm not really sure what he's referring to. In the Piskei Tshuva Aleph, he comments, I am B'Tshuvas Ridbaz, B'Chidushos, B'Chadashos, Shindalad, right? Shekasov, B'Misha Olo Rabo Shlishi Likro B'Torah, that if the Rebbe got the third Aliyah, the child, the Talmud shouldn't be the mashlim. So I think it's referring to like the Rebbe was the Balkori also, and the Talmud, it's not appropriate for the Talmud to step in. Maybe the Rebbe got stuck or he couldn't continue or something like that.
Might be the next Talmud, if you don't want to kill a father and son.
back-to-back.
Yeah, but why would it be called the mashlim?
Well, it could be. It's four leaves. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe referring to the back. I'm not sure. Deika zilusa l'rabim. Because that's it's embarrassing for the Talmud. Vafilu im karuhu. And even if they call him up and say, nu, you read. Lo yale, right? Don't go. Demut of sheyavu ase de kavu Torah. V'yidcha mash'amru mishakorono so l'ikur. That's better that you observe the mitzvahs ase of kavu Torah by not filling in for your Rebbe, rather than read. Period. The kaven why the mishum kavod rabo avin hachi leka bizayin haTorah, that because you're doing kavod, that it's because your kavod rabo is causing you to do this. There's not going to be a bizayin haTorah. V'imashikaru l'rabo shlishi hayil kavod harav. But if it was that he was being called up for kavod harav, kavod shira sayam chiyotze, right, something like that, that the Rebbe was being called up, not because it was assumed he knew the laning, I think, but because he was the Rav and therefore was getting the Aliyah, so then it's okay, right? Pshit the Shari. Then, of course, it's okay. Vim Rabu Nasan la Rishus b'chol gam l'chayv la'al. So also, if the Rebbe gave you Rishus, then you can go up. But I think it's not talking about just getting the next Aliyah. I think it's talking about that he's filling in something for the Rebbe, like showing that he seems to know something that the Rebbe didn't.
So who's going to do it if the Rebbe can't?
So I think that this Kishuv is saying, so everyone goes home. We're going to stop playing it. Yeah. I covered HaTorah is better than the Takana. I think that's what he said. Okay. What are we doing here? Alright, so kavod, kol cholik harabu, sif peis, kol cholik harabu, kol cholik ala shechina, anybody who argues on the Rebbe is like he argues on the shechina, v'chol ha'osim ariba im rabu, if you have an argument with the Rebbe, it's like you've made an argument with the shechina, v'chol ha'misraim alav, ki'il misraim ala shechina, and if you have a, protest or something, right? I've done a translation of this before, if you have complaints, against the Rebbe, it's like you've had complaints against the Shechina, v'chol ha'maharer achar rabu k'maharer achar Shechina. And also, if you have bad thoughts about the Rebbe, it's like you've had bad thoughts about the Shechina as well. There's no sekelim there, but good to keep in mind. Okay, but Ezehu cholik al rabu. What does it mean to be cholik al rabu? And Sif Gimel, he asks, so kol shekoveya lo midrash, v'yoshev v'doresh umalameid, shelo b'shus rabu. That somebody who establishes a medrash, he establishes a yeshiva, something like that, and he sits and he darshans and he teaches, and he didn't have the rishus from the Rebbe. The Rabbu Kayim, and the Rebbe's still alive. So afa pi shehu b'medina acheres, even though he's in a another country, right? That's still considered inappropriate. That's considered being cholik al rabo. Aval, as the Rama, aval mutter lachlok olav be'ezeh psak o hora im yishlo rayas v'chachas l'dvarav shedinima. However, it is permissible to argue with a specific psak. If you have a specific argument, so says the Rama, that would be permissible to argue on the that would be permissible to argue on the Rebbe. Fine. So what is this talking about? So kol shekuvei lo medrash. It says the Shach and Sif Beis. Because of a kesef mishnah, the Ratz of Lora, what's this referring to? The hainu dafak shekuvei atzma lahoros horos. Meaning this is specifically if you are establishing yourself as a posek. It doesn't sound like that's away from the Bach. I mean, the only thing that's prohibited, according to what the Shach suggests, at least this first in the Kesef Mishnah, is to open up a place where you're going to offering Piskei Halachos. But if you're offering another place where you're just going to be teaching, we're just going to be not necessarily Derech, we're just going to learn here, so that would be permissible. However, from the Bach, it sounds like that's not okay. Why? Because by opening up this new place, it's like you're arguing it's not just about competition. You are being cholik on the srara of the Rebbe, right? The srara has a specific amount of srara means leadership, some type of authority that he has. So you've established an alternative to that authority. So even just to check knives for shita where there's no hora at all, that's aser. Why mishum kavod shel rab? Because of the kavod of the Rebbe. Because you are sort of establishing an alternative way of psak halacha.
So if you're in another country, you can't check the shechita knives.
Well, again, without the rishus of the Rebbe. This is all without the rishus of the Rebbe. So this gets into the idea of smicha later on.
There's another thing. The rabbi, the rav, check the knives. It's not because you don't trust anybody, just for quote rabbit. But that article will not help if a Talmud will do it. This is what the woman says.
Really? Okay. These are vermin hug him about specifically that.
Place, the they the
no, I'm asking in the place where the rabbi is there.
Yeah, that's different. But if you're in the place, somehow different than you. So let's check that out.
It's an interesting story from Shavuot Sofer, the Anikli of Chasam Sofer. He wants to check all the times the knives before he ate from that shkita. There was one time in a city where they have a tikkun, nobody's allowed, only the rov. They worked very hard about the dough, but it was never matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so these are the Rabban Hagim specifically about checking the knives, apparently, that the Shach is referring to some type of Hora. There is, the Aruch HaShulchan does comment, however, he says that this also, Halacha may have fallen by the wayside. So this is also in the old days, because in the old days, the yeshiva was the center of Piskei Halacha. And that's really what it's referring to be the head of Pumpadisa, to be the head of Surah, to be the head of the place where all Piskei Halachas would be emanating from.
How can we do that back? I'm sorry, I'm there for the first time. But I'm just traveling the world because I want to bring that back. I got one rabbi. He teach me, I'm sorry, but it happens to be that I cried really a lot of times a day for that. I got one rabbi, but I was connected with him 12 years. He was the biggest rabbi in Brooklyn. The most of the Yonam in that city is that I meet him of him. I don't know what happened, but I got connected to him in some way like no son was connected to him.
In Brooklyn.
My father lived in upstate New York. But I'm sorry, I had 44 years as a teenager, no father. I got married also in upstate, but I was back in the city almost every day until he passed away after 12 years. Happens to be that after he passed away, I find myself, when I'm trying to learn with someone else, that everything is getting a different shot. Catching and other way things. And I saw that I have a few of that friends who are doing the same thing. Then I start to realize what's going on. What that means yeshiva, what that means yeshiva together with Psychologo, because he had a yeshiva. He took only 20 or 30 boys for one time. But he was also for Psychologo, because if someone had a shaila, All that kind of part of Brooklyn was mostly his Talmidim, the Dayunim over there, Murray was. So if someone had a big shayla, he came over. And one of my jobs was to bring the nice chairs and the coffee for the rabbis when they came with hard shaylas. So I felt in that way I know all the shaylas. And it happens to be that I figured out what is the real thing of the yeshiva.
Who is
the Rabbi? Who is the Rabbi? Rabbi Leitner. And I think it was the only one. If you got someone that was connected to JB, Rabbi JB, it has to be the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, brain was connected to him. His mind is...
Oh, you're talking about the Rabbi Movak part. You're still on the Rabbi Movak.
This is what
okay.
I'm saying.
Okay.
The Rabbi is asking to that.
And
this is what he claims.
I am asking that some people could feel that they have. I will get Rabbi the Shulchan Aruch itself talks about not really having a Rabbi Mova. So we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. Maybe you'll join us then. But the assumptions that we, you know, and there is room for people to have. I remember when I was in, someone told me, Maisa, not sure if it's true.